Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the first Sunday of Advent, and the readings are from Cycle A.
In another month, the world around us will celebrate New Year's Day. Maybe we'll do that in Pasadena. I'm hoping so. But the night before is what makes the news. That's where all the fuss really is. And when you have a party to welcome in the new year in a secular fashion, there's plenty of alcohol, and with it, noisemakers, you know? People shouting and those little things that make noise. I guess that's why they call them noisemakers. Happy New Year! It's a feast of noise. Joyful noise, but it's all about noise. And yet when in the spirit, when we're invited to enter into a new year, as we are on the first Sunday of Advent, should it surprise us that the Holy Spirit sends us in a completely different direction? The absence of noise. And invites us to welcome in the new year with as much silence as we can bring, as much stillness, inside and out, every kind of stillness. The first reading and gospel today juxtapose two different ways of thinking about the coming of God. One of them is spatial. That first reading today, there's a vision of this one spot on earth where God is going to come and live in such magnificence and such power and such glory. There'll be this one shining spot. It'll be so radiant that all the nations will stream toward it. It's really the background of the story of the three kings, the Magi. That all the nations will stream toward Jerusalem. And they'll all be kind of magnetically drawn, and they're going to be asking themselves in all the different languages of the world, what God is great as your God? Tell us about your God. There's something so appealing and so attractive about your God and about your relationship with your God that we crave it. We want what you have. It imagines one spot, one place where that could be possible. So there's this spatial idea about the presence of God in the world. The gospel today has Jesus speaking to his disciples, and it starts in before they ask the question, the way that the text is laid out today. It starts before the question that's asked, when will we know the end of times? One's about space, the other's about time. Particularly about the future. How will we know about the future coming of Christ? And then buried in the middle today, the second reading, there's a simple line from St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. It's the hour to wake from sleep. When we celebrate the other New Year's, all the fuss will be about Times Square or some other place like that, and thousands of people making noise. But eventually those people are going to go to sleep. Maybe at some god-awful hour of the morning. And eventually they're going to wake up, maybe bleary-eyed, maybe with a headache. But there's always an hour to wake from sleep. We're invited to make this Advent time the hour when we wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let's lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and live drunk and honorably in the day, not reveling in drunkenness and debauchery and quarreling and jealousy and everything else. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ because it's morning. Do you have a routine when you awaken? Some of us probably hit the snooze button a few times. I've never been that guy. I know a lot of people do that, but I just kind of bolt awake. And then I'm assaulted by this screen that scrolls up in my face and says, it's Monday and you have a 9 o'clock, and then at noon you have to do this. And do any of you wake up to that kind of taskmaster that says, it's this day, and today here are the things you got to do before it's over? For me to wake from sleep and to enjoy the quiet, I have to tell that thing, I have to hit delete. Wait a minute. There's a tradition in the monastic tradition of, they're called the night demons. The demons that try to disturb your sleep in the night. And just as you're on the cusp of moving from unconsciousness to consciousness, they try to get in one more thing. Here's the way you're going to work, use this day. You're going to get this, that, and the other done. And I was taught that one of the ways to wake from sleep is to claim your consciousness in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and tell every ugly thought to go away. I'd recommend that. Have you ever heard of that practice? Have you ever heard of that? If you want, when you wake up tomorrow, whether it's the second or third hit of the snooze button or whether you bolt awake or somewhere in between, start by claiming the day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit very gently. Maybe thank your guardian angel for getting you safely through another night. And ask whoever the holy ones are that support you to be with you as you launch a new day in the Lord's service. But do it gently, quietly, meaningfully, purposefully. Because if you and I don't get distracted by that notion of there's this one perfect place somewhere else or this one perfect time somewhere else, if we come back to the center, we remember at Advent and Christmas, we're not celebrating something here and there and elsewhere, long ago and far away or in the distant future. We're celebrating the presence of Christ in our midst, the one who said, I am with you always, the one you'll receive in the Eucharist. That's why you have to come up. Nobody can do this for you. You receive him right inside you. I think of our lives being where I think we're intended to expand in our consciousness and ascend. It's one of the pictures in the stained glass in the sanctuary that if we just act according to our nature, if we just let our lives unfold, they're expansive and they ascend. We see things more broadly, completely. We're less apt to get caught up in the minutiae of everything that can be so upsetting, because the Lord will help us see things in a grander point of view. If you and I were to say to the Lord, I really want the whole of you. I want to start over. I want to belong completely to you in a way that I haven't until now. And I'd like to start today. I want to put you on. That's what the second reading says. Put on Christ. While we're talking about what you do when you first wake up, is there a particular garment that you put on when you do get out of bed, when your feet hit the floor? I never exercise. I climb the stairs and I park far away and I do little tricky things, but I can't stand gyms. I don't know how many gym memberships I've had in my life. I'll never do that again. But I have this running suit, which I put on when I first wake up and run to the coffee pot. But that's what goes on my body first, just this little running suit. And when I put it on this morning, I thought, I want to step into you. I want to wear you. I want you to encase my body. Could you try that thought when you wake up tomorrow? Whatever it is, that's the first thing that goes on your body when you come out of the bed. Can you imagine or say to the Lord, I want to wrap myself up in you. I want to be encased in you. This is important because if you and I are going to fight that perception that God is in some faraway place or some faraway time, if you and I are really going to be the people that are alive in the Holy Spirit, remember our real birthday is the Pentecost. When the Spirit comes alive in us and people start seeing in us that location, that moment. If you and I are completely awake and alive in Christ, we won't have just a silly, frantic preparation for Christmas. We won't just have a bunch of annoying chores that seem like we're always behind on. We can even choose to let some of them just go and do some of them with more love and more intentionality. Students, for example, I've been hearing your confessions for 7 years, and you're moving into the danger zone because I hear this one 3 times a year, always in the end of a quarter and around finals. When you feel like you've got so much to do and so little time to do it, you can get so selfish. I've heard you accuse yourself of it. I paid no attention to my roommate. I don't call my parents. I'm crabby with everyone around me because I have so much to do. Well, so does everybody else. And that's why I hear people confess that. I know I can be better than this. Just because I have a lot to do doesn't give me carte blanche to ignore everybody else or be annoyed that the line is long or there's a lot of traffic or the malls are full. Maybe we can begin by inviting the Lord Jesus to help us celebrate his birthday. It's his birthday after all. Maybe we can do it differently this time around. Maybe we can say, I know you're already here. Now heighten that sense in me. Help me tingle with the electricity of your presence. Help me listen and not rush into my day, but make some space. Every spiritual tradition says the same thing, that if you want to grow in spirit, you have to be still. And it's not impossible to do. It's not outside anybody's reach. It's simply a matter of doing it and being still. Best to try that first thing in the morning. It's the hour to wake from sleep. You and I can start the new year the way we start the day. It's just that we have to be careful about how we start the day. And we're perfectly capable of starting the day slowly, gently, asking a blessing on it, clothing ourselves in Christ, asking to be aware of everyone around us so that we're not just racing past other people in order to get a task done, even important ones like studying. My prayer for me and for you is that the Holy Spirit gets to direct our Advent and our Christmas so that it's rich in a way that it wouldn't be if we just try to do it on our own power. If we really say to the Lord, I know you love me and I hardly give you any time for you to let me know, hear it. I want to express it. I want your love to pour through me to other people so that that vision, that dream that's expressed in the prophet of there being a place where there's something magnetic and holy and loving that draws people together wouldn't be some remote mountaintop. And that idea in the gospel of a powerful coming of Christ at some future point that will get everybody's attention, that both of those things could merge in me and in you, and that we move about in the world as a whole pack of mystics, not weird pie in the sky ozone layer people, but people who are attentive to the needs of everyone around us and lifting up people because they're more important than whatever was on our list or whatever we thought we needed to accomplish today. If you and I can invite the Lord to help us awaken in a way that we're not perhaps accustomed to, but willing to learn, we might find that this Advent time, this Christmas season, this new year, takes on a beauty and a richness that will be different from anything we've known until now.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.